Good morning. We are going to enter into a time of prayer. A few things I want to mention before we go into prayer. There will be a couple of people walking around with microphones. If you would like to share something with the congregation to be included in our time of prayer, if you could speak into the mic, that would be appreciated. A couple other things that I would like to mention. We have some, I'm going to say in this case, men, because it's only men going to Mexico to do some construction in Tijuana. And we want to keep them in prayer today, but also in this coming week as they do the Lord's work down there and minister among the people. And it's John Westrop and Peter DeVries have already left. They left early this past week and have done some preparatory work. And tomorrow, Case Van Mayen, Clem Mullenkamp, and Mike Dykstra will be leaving for a week, coming back a week later as well. And we want to just pray for you that you'll be kept safe in travel, in your work there, and that the Spirit works through each of you in the work that you do down there. The other thing I want to mention, we often pray for things that are coming up and so on and so on. I want to remember something that happened this past week as well that most of you did not attend. And I don't mean that in a derogatory way. Friday night, we had a games night at church here where families came together. We played some games. It was a wonderful evening. And I am assuming that we will have another one again. I don't know when. It could be months, it could be a year from now, it might be in a couple months, and that doesn't matter. But I wanted to let you know that we had a wonderful night here, and I would encourage each of you to try to make it out to the next one. I want to also remember those who are in charge and in leadership in these events as well, that they do feel encouraged with what they do. We had a great night, and I just want to say thank you to them. The other thing is, Pastor Bill Tynica is leading us through God's Word this morning. He also is involved with an organization called Resource Leadership International. And though Bill may not say anything about that this morning, because if he does, he may not have time to preach, I do want to remember, Billy, you and the organization in our prayers as well. It's a wonderful group of people that work with Christian leaders in Christian institutions of education in the majority world, training leaders to bring God's word through education and other forms of leadership to those in the majority part of the world. And I think they do some great work, and we need to keep them in prayer. I don't know if anyone is with Mike. Does anyone have anything that they would like to share with us that to remember in prayer this morning?
Could we just pray for my sister Judy Dykstra, who is waiting to go into residential care now, and that the Lord opens a door to a place where she can really call it home, and that she can take her electric wheelchair. That is kind of her lifeline, but they don't allow it in a lot of places. So if you could pray for that. Thank you.
I ask for prayer for our grandson, Sam, who is in Children's Hospital. He has an infection in the bone, and so they're trying to fight that with antibiotics, and so we're...
This is your grandson?
Our grandson, Sam.
Sam, okay. Yes. And he's where?
He's in Children's Hospital.
Children's, okay.
Yes.
I'd like to have prayer for my dad. He's in Surrey Hospital. He had a fall, and he broke or he fractured one of his discs in his back, and he's really not doing well. He's 84 years old, and I'd just like to have prayer for him that he may have some recovery and recuperate.
Sorry, Ken, you'll have to wait.
Right, small, John. A couple of things. My mother-in-law had a fall about 8 or 9 days ago, so her mobility is not what it used to be, so I would like prayer for her as well as any other seniors. Getting old is not always the nicest thing. Also, a couple of friends are going through what I'll call work-related issues. And I'm not going to name them, but God knows who they are. They know, God knows who, what they're going through. So if you could pray for those people, John, please. Thank you.
Just an item of thanks. 12 years ago today, my first son was born, and it was just an average, ordinary day for me. I had no clue. And it wasn't until 3 weeks later that we even found out about him and got to meet him. So it's just an item of, thanks to God for both my family, my kids, and his provision over us, even when we have no clue what's going on.
Your birthday?
Just clarification, do you now have a clue what's going on, or is the parenting thing still a little bit fuzzy?
This these past 3 days, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, three people from our congregation, as Marguerite Schoen, Sylvia Wolfing, and myself, attended a three-day course on restorative practices, which is an organization that has been around for a while, but has been embraced by our churches, our classes. And this course was offered. This is all about tools and ways to restore relationships between people when there's conflict. And I really embraced it, and I know that Sylvia and Marguerite did as well. And people were represented from most churches, even people from Smithers Williams Lake were there, Kamloops, there was a good attendance, and it was just awesome. And just the way the Lord works in these things and the possibilities that are there to restore relationships, and rather than punishment and all this stuff, just work in circles and talk through these things. This is something I would like to for our church to embrace as well in time to come, but I think this needs prayer and awareness, and it should become a way of life. So if you maybe just pray about the possibilities and thank God for opening these roads.
Pearl and I just want to give thanks for Brother Jose Luis, who is beside us here visiting from Mexico and spending some time at our place. And we just want to give thanks for the blessing that he has been to us, and also that work looks like it will be forthcoming. We had a pretty interesting encounter with immigration this week, and we really felt God's hand in that encounter. And so we just want to give thanks for him and pray for him and protection for his family back home in Mexico as well. He's actually here under some duress from the cartels in Mexico. The government is coming down on the cartels, and the cartels in turn are coming down on people that had small businesses. And that's been the main reason why Jose is here. And so we just want to bless him and pray for protection.
I just want to speak a word of thanks for the fact that we've got a choir going again. John, you know it well when you remember to attend. It's a joy in the middle of the week to get together with people from church and sing, and just a big thanks to Mark for putting it on and making it happen. He's doing a great job.
We seem to be missing this section over here.
Yeah, thanks for that, Leslie. I just want to thank all the choir members for coming out every Wednesday. It's I had a period of my life where I didn't have any music. You know, I studied, and then I sort of got out of it a little bit. So you guys have provided, you filled that void in my life. So thank you for that.
I would like to add to that, Mark. And yes, you know, we prepare for this, and the choir was actually in my thoughts. But as much as we fill the void for Mark, we created challenges for him because we really didn't know how to sing that well. And but the Lord has blessed us, and we thank Mark. Thank you.
Anyone else?
Shall we come to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, we bow our heads before you this morning. Lord, we thank you that you have allowed us to be here. You have allowed us and given us time to share. We thank you, Lord, that we may be open with that, and yet, Lord, we know that for each person that has spoken, there still are many who would like to share but find it difficult for various reasons. But Lord, may we come to you knowing that you love us, that you hear us, and Lord, as much as we love you, we know that you love us more. And Lord, as we celebrate Lent, Palm Sunday, Lord, as we remember this coming week also, your death and resurrection, the sacrifice that you made for us. Lord, we speak of it, and yet when we think about it, it's so incredible, it's hard to imagine. Humanly speaking, Lord, your gift to us is so large, and we say thanks, and yet, Lord, in our limited way, you know what we mean, and we pray that you would accept it. Lord, as much as you love us still, we fall short of your glory, of your Lord, we again this morning have confessed our sins to you. And Lord, we speak of some openly, and yet, Lord, we know that for many of us, and perhaps for each of us, there are the difficult things that we have done in life, Lord, that we find impossible to share with others. And yet, Lord, we know you hear us and that you know us. We pray that you would forgive us. We thank you for your grace and your mercy and your love for each of us. Lord, we want to remember a number of items that were mentioned this morning also. And Lord, there are many of us who struggle with health. Lord, we pray for Judy Dykstra, and that, Lord, we pray that as doors become open for her to move out of the care here at the Langley Hospital, that the appropriate place would be found for her, that she may be able to call home again, a place that would be accessible for her wheelchair. And Lord, even though it is difficult for us to find the right solutions to our challenges, we know, Lord, that you open doors, and we pray that here too we would call on you and that you would hear us and show us where to go and what to do. Lord, we pray for Diane also as she continues to deal with her health challenges. Lord, we pray for Dave, and Lord, we have prayed for healing. We know, Lord, that you hear us. Yet somehow, Lord, in our own human ways again, it is difficult for us to see how you answer our prayers. And Lord, healing means different things to each of us. And Lord, we pray for Dave and for the family that you would be near to them, give them strength and courage to face each day and to look to you for their help and strength. Lord, we pray for Mrs. Voss. We pray for Harvey's dad. Lord, as they struggle with their health, Lord, we pray for healing. We pray, Lord, that they too would seek you each day and look to you for their strength. Lord, we pray for Willie and Joanne's grandson, Sam, as he has an infection to deal with while at Children's Hospital. We pray for healing in his life. Lord, we pray for the friends that Dick has mentioned this morning. Lord, there are many of us who struggle with our work, trying to figure out how to get it done, and the challenges that are before us sometimes, Lord, seem insurmountable. Yet, Lord, we pray that we may seek you and that we may ask you each day to lead us and guide us through our days, that we may be able to do the tasks, Lord, that you have set before us. Lord, we thank you for family, and Ken has mentioned birthdays this morning, and Lord, may we see that too as a gift from you, and that we may celebrate them. May we celebrate the gift of life. Lord, we thank you for each one that you entrust to us. Lord, we pray for Jose Luis as also, and that, Lord, as he is separated from his family in Mexico, that may he too find work here. May he be reunited with his family again in due time. Lord, there are many who struggle in Mexico and other parts of the world with struggles of different sorts, with military and government intervention at times that is not honoring to you. Lord, we pray for each of these families throughout the world that struggle. May they know, Lord, that you watch over them still and that you are in control. Lord, we pray also for the we thank you for the meetings that could go on this past week with that Andy has talked about. Lord, restoration of relationships is something we need to work on, and due to our humanness, we have challenges here and we fail often. We pray, Lord, that you would, through your Spirit, lead us and guide us, and that, Lord, we may be a loving family, honoring you in all that we do. Lord, we pray that Lord, we pray for the Pastoral Search Committee. Lord, as they continue to do their work, and there's a lot of preparatory work that needs to be done before we perhaps see things more visibly, we pray, Lord, that you would guide them in their work. We pray for counsel here also as we, Lord, each week again want to honor you in how we lead this church and its various ministries. Lord, we thank you for each one. We thank you for the worship teams that come up here each Sunday. We thank you for those who lead in children's worship time, those who look after the little ones in the nursery. Lord, we thank you for care groups. Lord, we thank you also for the youth that were in Mexico a few weeks ago, and Lord, they have returned, and yet we pray that the work they did there may continue to, we may continue to see results through your Spirit, Lord, as you work in the hearts of those in Mexico. And Lord, we again want to remember John and Case, Mike, Peter, and Clem. Bless the work that they do again in Mexico. And Lord, as we pray for them this morning, we pray that this coming week too, each of us in our homes will continue to remember them. Lord, we pray for safety in their travel. Bless the work that they do. And Lord, as we go through your word, we pray for Pastor Bill this morning. Give him the words that he needs to speak. And Lord, as he leads us here also, we pray that you would also bless the work that he does with Resource Leadership International, a wonderful group, Lord, of people who seek to do your will in training others in the majority part of this world, Lord, so that they may also educate and lead their youth in your ways through your word, and that, Lord, your word may be spread. The message of your gospel may be spread to many who have not heard of you yet. Lord, we thank you for this, and we pray, Lord, that as we also celebrate the sacraments this morning the Lord's Supper, that there too, Lord, may we remember your death and resurrection and your love for us. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Thank you. Well, the message this morning is about a Palm Sunday call to prayer, and I have the feeling that the sense that you have already practiced what I'm about to preach. So view it as encouragement. I'd like to begin the message with a quote from Richard Foster on his excellent book on prayer. Today, the heart of God is an open wound of love. He aches over our distance and preoccupation. He mourns that we do not draw near to him. He grieves that we have forgotten him. He weeps over our obsession with muchness and manyness. He longs for our presence. And he is inviting you and me to come home, to come home to where we belong, to come home to that for which we were created. His arms are stretched out wide to receive us. His heart is enlarged to take us in. For too long, we have been in a far country, a country of noise and hurry and crowds, a country of climb and push and shove, a country of frustration and fear and intimidation. And he welcomes us home, home to serenity and peace and joy, home to friendship and fellowship and openness, home to intimacy and acceptance and affirmation. The key to this home, Richard Foster writes as he begins his book, this heart of God, the key to it is prayer. Well, this invitation to come home to God has been his offer to all people around this globe over all the centuries. And we read of it first this morning in Isaiah 56, where God invites his people to return to him, to come home and pray. Here's Isaiah 56, the first 8 verses. The title in the NIV is Salvation for Others. This is what the Lord says. Maintain justice and do what is right, for my salvation is close at hand and my righteousness will soon be revealed. Blessed are those who do this, who hold it fast, those who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it and keep their hands from doing any evil. Let no foreigners who have bound themselves to the Lord say, "The Lord will surely exclude me from his people." And let no eunuch or single person complain, "I am only a dry tree." For this is what the Lord says, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose what pleases me and hold fast to my covenant, to them I will give within my temple and its walls a memorial and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that will endure forever. And foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord, to minister to them, to love the name of the Lord, and to be his servants, all who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it, and who hold fast to my covenant, these, and here's particularly, pay attention to this, it has to do with Palm Sunday, these I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. The sovereign Lord declares, he who gathers the exiles of Israel, I will gather still others to them besides those already gathered. When Isaiah writes to the people of Israel, at this point in exile, there are three groups of people that were particularly distanced from God. A little bit loose language as we say it here, but they were those, first of all, who hesitated to come to church, even though they had a hunger for God and their hearts really wanted to know him better. And those same three groups can be found today. Isaiah talks first about the strange sinner, or those who knew they were disobedient, those who no longer did that which was just or right. Those are the kind, they usually know it more themselves than anyone else, for whom prayer and worship are the first to go, or the last place they want to be. And the devil will use their guilty conscience to keep them distanced from God and his people. The strange sinner. Secondly, there was the stranger, what's called the foreigner. Today we would call that the unchurched person. The one who doesn't fit, feels they don't fit into church culture, have a hard time belonging. They haven't been raised there. And so they tend to keep a distance because they don't feel good enough to be there. And then there was the eunuch. In those days, if you served in royal courts, you might say, you were neutered so that you were a safe employee, which meant, especially in Jewish culture, not only could you not have children, but your inheritance, you would have nothing to give away or to inherit. We'll say for our purposes, they were the single people without natural connections in their case. So God comes to these kinds of people, the strained, the stranger, and the single or lonely, and he gives this promise. If you will bind yourself to me and my promises, and if you will find your rest in me, and we can live in covenant, I will bring you, says God, into my holy presence, and I will give to you joy in my house of prayer. That's God's desire for all people. As John mentioned, Work for Resource, and we were privileged recently, along with John and Pearl Dinhan, to visit 5 countries in Southeast Asia. 8 schools is primarily what we go for. Everyone speaks different languages. They're different colors. Each one is a child of God. And God wants to see all of them, as much as he does us in Canada, be drawn into his presence to know him. Doesn't matter what their race or color is. When he called Abraham, he said, Abraham, I want you to be a blessing to all nations. When he had Solomon build the temple, he says it's to be a place of prayer for all people. And so when Solomon ended up finishing the temple, this is what he prayed. He says, as for the foreigners who do not belong to your people Israel, but have come from a distant land because of your name, for they will hear of your great name and your mighty hand and your outstretched arm. God's always doing great things with his people. And so when they hear and come to pray toward this temple, then you, God, hear from heaven, your dwelling place, do whatever the foreigner asks of you, so that all the peoples of the earth may know your name and be in awe of you, as do your own people, and may know that this house I have built bears your name." That's God's heart. It's been his heart throughout the whole Old Testament. It was the temple was therefore built as this place where people could come to pray. And the church in the New Testament is to be a community of people for which others can come and know God and meet him in prayer. As Richard Foster writes, God wants to see us come home, and the way to that home is through prayer. The key to this home, this heart of God, is prayer. And then he adds this: if the key is prayer, the door is Jesus Christ. How good of God to provide us a way into his heart. He knows that we are stiff-necked, hard-hearted, so he has provided a means of entrance. Jesus the Christ lived a perfect life, died in our place, and rose victorious over all the dark powers so that we might live through him. This is wonderfully good news. No longer do we have to stand outside, barred from nearness to God by our rebellion. We may now enter through the door of God's grace and mercy in Jesus Christ. As Paul says, Jesus came to fulfill all the promises made in the Old Testament. The Gospels describe Jesus as our temple, the full presence of God. That's why he said to his disciples one time, "Destroy this temple, in 3 days I'll raise it up again," referring to himself. Jesus is also our Sabbath rest. We are not Seventh-day Adventists. We actually are first-day Adventists who find our complete rest not in the day, but in the person of Christ. And our busy world, so consumed with muchness and manyness, needs a day to simply worship the Lord and be reminded again that in Christ is our peace, our rest. And so he calls us to God through himself to live in this covenant, which he shapes as we're about to celebrate, through his blood shed. So there's nothing between us. We can come and be close to him. And this is why, coming to Palm Sunday, when Jesus encountered priests and rulers who were blocking that entranceway that he had come to open the way to God, they were blocking it, he got angry. Let's read the story. It's Passover week. Jesus has come into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey in a humble way, kids waving palm branches. We read in Mark 11, this Palm Sunday story, the next day as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree and leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves, because it was not the season for figs. Then he said to the tree, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples heard him say it. On reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple courts and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves, and would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. And as he taught them, he said, quoting Isaiah 56, "Is it not written, 'My house will be called the house of prayer'? But you have made it a den of robbers." The chief priests and the teachers of the law heard this and began looking for a way to kill him. You know, leaders in the church love to excommunicate when things are going against their own popularity, for they feared Jesus because the whole crowd was amazed at his teaching. When evening came, Jesus and his disciples went out of the city. In the morning, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. And Peter remembered and said to Jesus, Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed is withered. Have faith in God, Jesus answered Peter. Truly, I tell you, if you say to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea and do not doubt in your heart and believe that what you say will happen, it will be done for you. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. Jesus cursed the fig tree because this green tree with no fruit was a picture of religious Israel. Looked good. All the ceremonies were in place. They had style, but no substance. They didn't bear fruit. And any branch that does not abide in and bear fruit in Christ withers and eventually dies and will be cut off and thrown into the fire. A church, a denomination can look good and go through the motions of worship, but if it is not being rooted in Christ and abiding in him and gathering others into this fellowship of Christ followers, people who find their source of life in him, if it's not doing that, that church and denomination will wither and die. On the other hand, any branch or church, denomination, person that abides in Christ will bear fruit. And the bearing of fruit will look like it did in Isaiah, where those who have fallen will be forgiven, strangers will be welcomed, those who feel singled out and alone will be embraced, and most central of all, it will be a place of prayer. Jesus was so upset because these chief priests and teachers of the law had set up shop in what was in the temple called the Court of Gentiles. That's where the strangers came. So here's what happened. They were, if you were to come and worship, you had to provide proper coinage. You needed to buy a dove. You know, if you were coming into Jerusalem, you didn't want to carry all these animals. You could buy them right there. But you have to have the right coinage. Shouldn't have the wrong image. Shouldn't be damaged. Well, there was a 30% surcharge on all the money that was exchanged. And then you had to purchase, say, a dove for a sin offering. And they, of course, in the temple had a monopoly. And that markup was even more than that of exchanging money. They often had to pay double the amount. Something like buying lunch in the airport. Why does that cost so much? The house of prayer had become a place where strangers were being robbed. And access to God through prayer was being held back. Because by the time you got there, you missed the point of it all. The church is to be a place that welcomes folks and enables them, along with us, to be and stay connected with Christ. And we're to remove anything that would keep someone from going along that journey. Because when people get connected with Christ, as he points out to his disciples on this day, amazing things can happen. Mountains get moved. Here's the way it reads that story in the Message. When the disciples marvel at the power of Christ to kill that tree, as it were, Jesus says, embrace this God life. Really embrace it. And nothing will be too much for you. This mountain, for instance. Just say, go jump in the lake. No shuffling or, I don't know what this means, shilly-shally. Never heard of that. But anyways, and it's as good as done. That's why I urge you to pray for absolutely everything, ranging from small to large. Include everything as you embrace this God life. And you'll get God's everything. What are those mountains? Are they real dirt? We were just in Winnipeg, and now they're really grateful. They have this, they call it a ditch around Winnipeg, this huge channel they've built so that Winnipeg will never have another flood. Wouldn't it be nice if it could say, move? They'd have saved millions. I don't think that's what Jesus is talking about. Could be. I think the mountains are spiritual and relational boundaries, especially. Because the hardest thing to move is a stubborn character. The greatest obstacle in the kingdom is not a lack of finances. It's a lack of grace and a lack of love. And in order to love some people, in order for some people to be loved, mountains need to be moved, and sometimes huge ones. Is there a mountain in your life that needs to be moved? Have you really prayed about it? Can you entrust what it is to God in the faith that he could actually move it? I don't think it's a coincidence that the story or this episode ends with Jesus saying in Mark 11:25, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. The greatest barrier to knowing God and living in community is your and my sin. And the path that breaks through all that is prayer. That's where we can seek and receive God's grace. And in prayer, learn how to forgive fellow believers, friends and enemies that God brings into our lives. This past week, I was meeting with a Christian brother. We visited grandkids. We were in Winnipeg, and we were talking about how hard it is to sometimes forgive some people. I think we have every right, as I would see it, to hold a grievance, to insist that someone comes and repents. They wronged us. Of course, sometimes that isn't going to happen, and Jesus isn't asking that here, is he? He's asking us to forgive them. We're praying and we remember it. He says, it comes, extend grace. No matter what they do with it, that's not your business. Extend grace. Forgive them the way God has extended his grace to you and me before he might know what we're going to do with it. It's always available. The power to so forgive, I don't think we have it in us. It only comes from our ability to grasp how much we have been forgiven. And that's why Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. I tend to think it's the predominant recurring practice that the church is to have to remind us how much we've truly been forgiven. You see, the key, as we've been reminded, to our the key to this heart of God is prayer. Christ is the door, and he's our hope. And this practice that we do is a reminder of who Christ is for us. And I hope this morning that as you know, there's shuffle and bustle and activity, that in the quietness of your heart, somehow God impresses on you the extravagance of his grace, so that you and I can go from here knowing that we are completely free. Follow me in this liturgy that we have. Lift up your hearts. Oh, can we have that one up? Yes. Oh, you've done the announcements first. You see, this is the way it goes. There we are. Thank you. So you do the inserts, I think. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. We give thanks to God the Father that our Savior, Jesus Christ, before he suffered, gave us this memorial of this sacrifice until he comes again. The Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And so in unity with Christians everywhere, let us proclaim the mystery of our faith. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. The cup for which we give thanks is a sharing in the blood of Christ. Congregation of Jesus Christ, the Lord has prepared his table for us true believers. And if you are sorry for your sins, sincerely follow Jesus as your Savior and Lord, you are invited to come with gladness to the table of the Lord. Here they are, the gifts of God for you, the people of God. And before we share in them, a few announcements. As some of you know, it's your practice. We come forward and we participate in groups.